Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 17, 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they cried out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet, thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 made clean? The other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. He's already out of here. Sitting up with me is a real challenge up here, actually. So people can hardly wait to get. Actually, she's got a job to do, and I'm going to talk to you about that in just a minute. Join with me in prayer. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for how you speak into our lives and how you give us perspective about what is truly essential and important. Thank you for that which is truly essential and important, our saving relationship with you through Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. I've shared with you previously, and to some of you, I have offered this particular statement. It's very short. Whenever you've asked me how I am, my response inevitably is, I'm blessed. I share that with people in line at Walmart, Fry's, the 99-cent store. I get no remuneration from mentioning their names, but those are all stores that I go to. And I share that with people online, and there's sometimes whenever there's a person in front of me that says, "What'd you say?" And I say, "I'm blessed." And they say, "Why?" And so I talk to them about what it is to have a new life with God through Jesus Christ. I share with them the good news of salvation in whatever words God gives to me at that time. Depends from person to person, but open myself to God to just speak and work at that time. Sometimes people pretend like they didn't hear me. In fact, they want to get me through the line as quickly as possible. I have that effect on people sometimes. Get rid of me. But for me, it speaks about the reality of perspective. Perspective as a child of God, as a Christian, as a brother in Christ, as one who has a previously mentioned saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Perspective is something that we gain whenever we open ourselves to how God is speaking in our lives. Therefore, whenever I say I'm blessed, does that mean that everything's going beautifully? No. Does that mean that all my prayers have been answered in the way that I want them? No. Does that mean that I'm maybe even feeling well physically at that very moment? No. But it doesn't mean that God is still at work in my life and I don't define God, and God is not defined by me, and God is still at work and in control? Yes. And amen for that. For us to say, I'm blessed, doesn't mean everything's going wonderfully. What it means is that we have a thankful heart towards God. A thankful heart because of God at work in our lives through Christ. A thankful heart because of God's Holy Spirit washing over us literally every moment. The scripture passage today speaks about perspective. It speaks about thankfulness. It's a familiar story, but maybe you've never thought of it in this way. On the way to Jerusalem, and I need to go ahead and share a point already. On the way to Jerusalem, five words in the scripture, and we need to remember something here. We need to remember. Where is Jesus headed? Jerusalem. What's going to be part of that journey? He's heading there. It's in the shadow of the cross from here on out. In fact, even before this, in the Gospel of Luke, as you're reading it, it helps you remember that as Jesus is heading towards the cross, all of these things become even more powerful. Because as he's teaching, as he's providing an example for all of us little Christs that are running around, as he is speaking words of truth, it reminds us that this is the Savior talking to us. We must listen. We must learn. We must grow as his disciples. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us! Jesus! We've heard you're a great rabbi. Jesus, we understand that you can heal and only you can heal. And Jesus, please, have mercy on us. Sometimes you have to read Scripture as it really was. If you really wanted somebody to do something, would you say, Jesus, excuse me, if you have a moment, Jesus, oh, never mind. Well, Jesus, could you have mercy on us, please? Which one is going to get a better response? The milquetoast response? You're saying, JC, here I am! This was going against all sorts of definitions of what was appropriate in that day. All sorts of things. They had a skin disease. It says that they are lepers, but oftentimes in Scripture, whenever it mentions lepers or leprosy, it was some sort of disease of the skin. And in that time, those who had that would have been outcasts, ostracized, exactly, from religious life, from communal life. Oftentimes, they were put and isolated out on a hill outside of the town. So for them to approach a renowned rabbi, at least, someone who had been seen as a pretty doggone smart prophet, at least, someone who was doing some remarkable things, at least, for them to approach him was bold. They must have been at their wits' end. They must have just had enough of being outcast, isolated. And what happens here? What happens after they approach him? When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. Understand this. Jesus understands what they needed to do then to be brought back into the community, to be able to participate fully in the religious life of the community. While they were being made clean physically, they also needed the approval of the priests to be brought back in into the worshiping community, to be fully restored. You see, those times that we have whenever we truly cry out to Christ, whenever we're truly at our wits' end, whenever we have forget, when we forget about trying to do it ourselves and allow God through Christ to do it, in those times we are restored in every way. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. We don't even know what he was saying, but he was praising God. He didn't care who heard him. And that's important to remember, and this following statement is important to remember. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And all of those things are important to remember because of this following statement. And he was a Samaritan. Samaritans, Jews, had this incredible animosity between each other. Samaritans were seen as unclean even without leprosy. We're not going to be welcomed into the community. We're seen as bad people. If you wanted to call somebody something bad, you'd call them a Samaritan. You're no better than a Samaritan. And yet, he's praising God. He's thanking God. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet. Now, do you know what prostrate is? You know what a prostate is also? Yeah, some of you know that. I know that. We're not even going to go into that, okay? We'll pray about that. It's like this. There's Jesus, Samaritan, somebody who's seen as unclean, somebody who's not welcome, somebody who's on the outside, and he's healed, and he's praising God, and he literally throws himself at Jesus' feet. You know, he just throws himself down in the dirt. It's not a nice and neat and tidy worship area. He throws himself down at Jesus' feet. He's in the dust. He's at Jesus' feet. And he humbles himself by doing that. And Jesus is taking this all in. He's taking it all in thinking one thing. All of those who are watching it are thinking something else altogether. Then Jesus says, you know, I remember healing 10. And weren't they made clean also? Where are the other 9? Where'd they go? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to this man at his feet, praising God, didn't care what anybody else thought, but just knew what God had done in his life and was so excited about it, had such wonderful perspective, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. The Samaritan had the right perspective, in other words. He was, at that point on, even though he was still going to be seen as an outsider by some, even though he was still seen as unclean by some, even though everything wasn't going to necessarily be going right in his life, what could he say from that point forward, because he had the right perspective? People say, how you doing? I'm blessed. Everything's not perfect, but I'm blessed. To have an attitude of thankfulness, to have a heart filled with thankfulness, is something that we can take away from this story. It speaks of extraordinary courage for this foreigner, for this one that was looked down on, to come forward and just start praising God, throwing himself at Jesus' feet, thanking him, knowing that everything wasn't perfect in his life, but now, he was not only healed, he was saved. In some translations, it includes that. Jesus saying, you're healed and you're also saved. Whenever we have that saving relationship with God through Christ, doesn't mean all of a sudden everything's fantastic. But we have the most important thing. We have salvation. George Strope offers these words. The purpose and end of human existence is gratitude and doxology, or a praise. That's what that means. Not because of who human beings are, but because of who God is. The God before whom humans live is a splendor beyond human comprehension, to whom humans respond appropriately only in adoration and praise. And C.S. Lewis offers these thoughts as he explored his newfound faith. He was observing the Bible's, particularly the Psalters, the Psalms, insistence that we praise and thank God. He also observed the connection, the direct connection between gratitude and personal well-being. Hear these words. I noticed how the humblest and at the same time most balanced minds praised most, while the cranks, misfits, and malcontents praised the least. Praise almost seems to be inner health made audible. I'm glad, as I was saying, cranks, misfits, and malcontents, I don't see what I sometimes see in worship where people are elbowing the person next to them. I'm so thankful for that. I really am, because it's distracting to your pastor, and I have to remember to call those people later on this week. Some sort of inner presence that we can't even really name, but we know God's at work there, helps us to be able to praise, to be able to worship, even though things aren't perfect. The one who is perfect is at work in us. Amen? I wanted to offer this doxology that I found. And this is going to be something that we will be having online on our website under the grapevine. You don't have to copy it down, sister. I'll send it to you. It's going to be on the grapevine, so if you like it, go ahead and check there on our website. But this is a wonderful doxology, and it reminds us of what attitude we should have in our living. Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Set God-sized goals. Pursue God-ordained passions. Go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. Keep asking questions. Keep making mistakes. Keep seeking God. Stop pointing out problems and become part of the solution. Stop repeating the past and start creating the future. Stop playing it safe and start taking risks. Expand your horizons. Accumulate experiences. Enjoy the journey. Find every excuse you can to celebrate everything you can. Live like today is the first day and also the last day of your life. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Burn sinful bridges, blaze new trails. Don't let fear dictate your decisions. Take a flying leap of faith. Quit holding out. Quit holding back. Push all your chips to the middle of the table. It's time to ante up all of your faith. It's time to go all in. It's time to go all out. God is seeking to create a strong, Christ-centered perspective in us so that that is what defines us. That is what people see. That is what people hear. Not our agenda, but how God is speaking in and through us. How is your perspective? What is being shared in your life? Think about that. There's a few moments of reflection. And in this time, as always, you can take it to recommit your life to God through Jesus Christ. It's a very simple thing that you can say. Father, join with me in prayer.